Hey, good evening, everybody, and thank you so much for joining me, coming to you from Toronto, Canada today. So today we're going to Be'ez Hashem continue in Siman Shin Chav Ches. This is our second to last year on Siman Shin Chav Ches. Today we are doing Si'ifim, Mem Dalid, Mem Hey, Mem Vav, and Mem Zayin Be'ezras Hashem. So this is page Kuf Samaches, Amud Beis. So let's get right to it. Si'if Mem Dalid, Rochtzin B'mei Graru B'mei Chamsan. One is allowed to bathe in Mei Grara and Mei Chamsan, two different bodies of water. Ubimei Tveria, and in the waters of Tveria, Ubimei Mayafim Shabi Yamagadol, and in the cleaner waters of the Yamagadol, Afal Pishe Meluchim, even though it's salty water, Shekein Derech Lirchutz Ben, because it's normal for people to bathe in such waters, it's very clean. Veleko Chachad Lirfua Ka'avid, and it's not obvious that you're doing it for the sake of Rafua. Avalo Bimei Maraim Shabi Yamagadol, but one may not bathe in the dirty waters of the Yamagadol, Bimei Mishra, or in water that was used for soaking flax, Shehim Ma'us. Because those are disgusting, and it wouldn't be normal for someone to bathe in such waters unless they were doing it for refua. So by bathing in such waters, you're making it obvious that you're only interested in refua. But that's only a problem even in the dirty waters if you sit in them, you stay in them for some time. But if you're not going to sit in these dirty waters, you're only going to be in it for a brief period of time. So then that's not a problem, because that's near a kemekar. That makes it look like you're just cooling down very quickly, and not that you're actually doing something for the sake of refuah. Let's see the Mishnah Berurah, Sivkot and Kuf Lamed Zayin, Rochtzin, Pirish, Afshe, Kavanasa, L'Refuah, Kivin, Shrochtzin, Bobriim, Mutter, that even though your intention is for the sake of refuah, but since it's something that healthy people would do, healthy people would go into such clean waters to cool off or to bathe, so you're allowed to do it as well, even though you're doing it for refuah. Ach, Bizman, Shein, Derech, Lirchutz, Bechami, Tveria, El, Refuah aser b'Shabbos im shoheh. But if there's a you're at a time of year or a time in history where no one goes to Chamei Tveria unless it's for the sake of refuah, then it becomes aser. Meaning the whole point is whether it's obvious that you're doing it for refuah or not. It's not that like these bodies of water have something magic about them. It's just about whether it will look like it's refuah or not. Meluchim, we said even if they're salty, pirushu mo'ilim im nezek tzas l'ra. And therefore they have therapeutic value. And even if a person has some sort of things on his head that will be healed by the salt waters, even that's going to be mutter, because it's not obvious that you're doing it for refuah. Ubimei mishra, but when we're talking about water that they shashor and shampishdon, where they soak flax, vuadin biyamishal sedom, or the yam of sedom, shehim usim, that are gross, so then it's obvious that you're doing it for refuah. Isa Rambam, the Rambam writes, in ruchsin b'mayim shemishal shalim, that you shouldn't bathe in water that will cause you to have diarrhea. Hainu mayim, which means waters that will cool down the body to the point that it will bring a person to diarrhea, and nor in any mud that people drown in, because all of these things are tsar. Meaning, leaving aside all refuah concerns, the Rambam says, don't do things that are going to stir your Shabbos, that are going to ruin your entire onik Shabbos. It's someone just asked me last week. They had to get a colonoscopy. So it ruins a whole day, because you got to take that stuff the day before where it cleans out your system. So to miss another work day while they're taking that, so easiest for them would be to do it on Shabbos, do the whole cleansing on Shabbos, and do the colonoscopy on Sunday. But that means they're going to be taking things that are mishalshel the entire Shabbos. That says the Rambam. Mishnah Berurah is quoting a Rambam over here. That's usher. It's a violation of onik Shabbos. Chen kos v'smag v'im kein. So you're not allowed to drink something that will cause you shilshul, because there's no greater tzar than that. And his point is that even if your kavanah is not for the sake of refuah, if your kavanah were for the sake of refuah, it would be asr anyway. Unless it were for the sake of a chalashin basakana, then you're allowed to do refuah, and then it's only an onik Shabbos issue. But even in the dirty waters, it's only a problem if you're going to stick around in those waters. Dumucha milsa de l'rufua ka'avid, because then it's obvious that you're doing it for a refua. Shere mayim achurun sruchin, because the water is dirty and smelly. Ve'ino mitcham b'shvil anah, no one's enjoying being there. But if you just go there for a quick dip, even in the dirty waters, that's not obvious it's for a refua, because that's kimekar. That looks like you're cooling down. Ve'af b'shein achurin, even though they're dirty, amrin lo matzmayim yafim liyolim lahakir ka'avid. Probably people will say, yeah, he just couldn't find a clean swimming pool, so he's just taking a dip in a dirtier swimming pool, but he just needs to cool his body off. This is, you have to remember, this is before the advent of air conditioning. So if it was a really hot day in the Middle East or whatever, you know, in a summer day, they needed to cool their bodies off. So even if a person has chatatin on his head, whatever a scar, I don't know what the right word is for chatatin, but these things on his head that where the skin is damaged, it's still going to be mutter, even though you might think that makes it more obvious that he's doing this for refuah purposes. Sif mem hey, loch shemal nechash ma'akrabim b'shvil shle yaziku, v'in b'kach mishum tzeda, that you're allowed to do a lechisha, say some sort of incantation that will immobilize snakes or scorpions so that they don't harm you, and that's not a violation of tzeda. Says the Mishabri, isn't it anyway not a violation of tzeda because it's melech shein tzrich legufa? You're not trying to catch them, you're just trying to immobilize, stop them from getting you, and it's a sakana, or at least a great tsar if they bite you. So says Mishmura, the Avil Gavdali de Alacha Shein Yochel Lozes Mimkom Machinuchel Tavso. Even though lechora it should be tzeda to some degree because it's immobilized and now you could just go pick it up. Mikol makom mutter, it's still mutter. Dein zeh tzeda tiv is, because this is not a natural type of tzeda. V'yalfagav de paskin b'sim shin tazayin tziv zayin dafilu latzul lahed yom mutter kadei shalei yishchenu. And even though we said in sim shin tazayin that if you're afraid that something's going to bite you, you're even allowed to trap it, meaning the bee in the sukkah, when you're afraid of bees and it's going to sting you and it's going to really hurt, you're allowed to trap the bee under a cup in the sukkah, because you're doing it to prevent it from biting you. Tzarech lomar da'ach amari dilek el chashash rechoka kagon dein rodef achrav klal uchadome. It must be that over here we're talking about a case where it's not really threatening you, and it's a very low likelihood that it would bite you anyway. So from a tzeda perspective, if you were actually trapping it, it would be usser, and the only reason it's mutter over here is because you're not really doing tzeda, you're just whispering something to it that's immobilizing it, that's making it not able to do anything. Sif mem vav. You're allowed to take a non-mukta kli and put it on your eye to cool off your eye on Shabbos. That a person who has an eye ache can put metal kalim on his eye in order to cool down. And you can also put a ring or another kli around your eye so that the swelling does not extend. And the Chayyadim writes, you're also allowed to push down a wound with a knife in order to prevent it from spreading. That's not called refuah when you're preventing the spread of a swelling of swelling, or you're preventing the spread of an injury. Sif mem zayin, etzem shiyatzem imkomo machzirino. So if you have a dislocated bone, you're allowed to put it right back in its place, which sounds great. The problem is we had a few pages ago in Sif Lamed that you're not even allowed to vigorously rub a dislocated limb with cold water because it might put it back into its place, which makes it sound like you're not allowed to put a dislocated limb back into its place. So that's what the Mishabur deals with over here in Kuf Mem Hey. Shiatsim im komo, Hamagin Avram cholik alze. Magen Avram just disagrees with the psak of the Shulchan Aruch of Yerushalayim. The Davka etzem anishbar mutar lachziro. He holds that a dislocated bone you're not allowed to put back. Only a broken bone, kedisa, you could reset. Kedisa b'gemara, aval etzem anishmat mi mekomo. But a bone that's just dislocated, asur lachziro. Dafil l'shafshif haber b'tzonin asur kedisa b'sivlamin. Because after all, we said in sivlamin, you're not even allowed to rub it vigorously with cold water. V'kol shkein chazara, certainly to put it back into place. V'etiku kam achronim. And many of the Achronim quote what it said there in Sif Lamed, so it must be that we paskin like that. But even though we're machmir, not to replace a dislocated limb, when you have an Einu Yehudi to do it for you, that's okay. That's the Magen Avraham. So Magen Avraham says, dislocated limb, you're not allowed to put back, only a broken limb you're allowed to reset, but if it's dislocated, you can only do Al Yidei Einu Yehudi. Now he says, the Sefer Shulchan Atzei Shittim disagrees with the Magen Avraham, and he has a different way of being miyashev. V'kasav, and he says the kol shiatzam imkom legamri shekorn oishkelin chashiv sakarnas ever k'mon nishbar im lo yachzirenu miyad v'shari lahachzir afilu al yidei Yisrael. That if it's completely dislocated, so then it has the status of sakarnas ever, and you could even have a Jew that replaces it back into its place. Look at Sif Yud Zayin ad kan l'shono, like we said in Sif Yud Zayin. V'haydi le'el Sif Lamed ayri l'dayto b'shalom nishmat legamri mimkomo. And in Sif Lamed, we were talking about a case where it was not totally dislocated from its joint. V'nira degam l'das ha'magen Avram. Now, so again, so there are two approaches to how to reconcile Sif Mem Zayin with Sif Lamed. So the way the Magen Avram said is that Sif Mem Zayin is just wrong. It would only be true if it were actually broken. But the Shulchan Aruch Seishitim says, no, they're both correct, but Sif Mem Zayin is talking about when it's very, very badly dislocated. So the Mishnah Berurah says that even according to the Magen Avraham, in Marofei Omer, Shenifrak b'chazak of yuchal ovel lidei sakonis eiver, Shemotu limshoch lachzil limkom ugderuch shosu b'chal. Certainly, if a doctor were to tell you that this is going to be sakonis eiver, then of course you're allowed to put it back into place, even though it's not broken, even though it's only dislocated and not broken. So to review what we learned tonight, we said, first of all, that a person may take a therapeutic bath in clear water, but if it's dirty water, you can only do a quick dip so as not to appear to be bathing for the sake of refuah. Then we said that even leaving aside refuah concerns, one may not take a diuretic on Shabbos because of the mitzvah of Onek Shabbos. It's going to stir your Onek Shabbos. And so that's why preparing for a colonoscopy, not okay on Shabbos. You schedule it for a different day of the week. Then we said that a person can immobilize a snake using incantations, even if the snake is not an immediate threat to bite you, because it's shalo b'derech hateva that you're doing this trapping. And fourth, we said you could put a ring around the eye to prevent swelling, or use a non-muktza metal kli to cool your eye down or to prevent the spread of swelling, and that's not considered a violation of refuah. And finally, we said that there's a stira between Sif Lamed, where the Shulchan Aruch prohibits replacing a dislocated limb, and Sif Mem Zayin, our Sif, where the Shulchan Aruch permits it. So we had two ways of being miyashiv that stira. The Magen Avraham says that Sif Mem Zayin is incorrect and should only be applied if it's broken, but a dislocated limb should not be replaced on Shabbos, whereas the Shulchan Aruch Seishitim said that if it's totally dislocated, then it's mutter, because that has the status of sakana sefer. But if it's partially dislocated, then it's going to be usher, since it is not sakana sefer. The Mishnah Berurah pointed out that even the Magen Avraham would be moda, first of all, that if it's dislocated, that you could have a non-Jew do it for you to replace the dislocation. And second, the Magen Avraham would be moda that if a doctor tells you that it is a sakana sefer, even though there's no break in the bone, if a doctor says it is a sakana sefer, then you're allowed to replace it as well. Okay, but on Sunday, we'll have to figure out how we're going to fit all this in with the Yom Tovim. So probably, maybe a Matzoi Shabbos will do a shir. So maybe Matzoi Shabbos Sunday and Monday, and maybe we'll do it that way. All right, stay tuned to the WhatsApp. We'll keep you posted. But next time, we'll finish up Simon Shin Chav Ches Bezros Hashem.